Hey guys, it's Richie Burke. Welcome back to the Go Getters podcast and happy new year. Hope everyone had a great holiday. Today I got to sit down with Johnson Financial Group CEO Jim Popp live from their new office overlooking Cathedral Square. Actually, it is on Cathedral Square. It's pretty much overlooking the entire city of Milwaukee. We got to talk about that big investment that they made, and we covered a lot of ground. It's a quick episode, but we got to cover a lot of topics like the future of fintech, the current state of business in the state of Wisconsin. JFG works with a lot of business owners. We got to touch on leadership lessons, advice to young professionals, talent attraction in the city of Milwaukee, and what Johnson Financial is doing to give back to the community and the importance of giving back. For those of you who don't know, Jim Popp, as I said, he is the CEO of Johnson Financial Group. He also serves on the boards of the MMAC, the GMC, Children's Hospital, Marcus Performing Arts Center, and he also serves on the board of trustees for the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Milwaukee. A lot of you probably do not know that Popp had a little brief stint in the NFL, which is where we start the episode. And if anyone wants to get involved, if you're interested in getting involved in the Go-Getters in 2022, just visit our website, ggmm.io. Thanks again for tuning in today. Let's talk to Jim Popp. What a lot of you probably don't know, back in the day, Popp played tight end for Vanderbilt when he was a two-time SEC All-Conference. I looked this up, 871 career yards and one touchdown. That came in 1985.
Hey, that's not my fault. Like, they got to throw the ball more. They got to throw it to me more.
They must not have hit you in the. You must not have been a red zone target if you still had almost 900
one touchdown
yards.
Against Iowa State. I still remember it.
Can you walk us through that play right now?
It would take too long because it was such a spectacular play. It would take too long. Yeah,
I'm sure it was. They didn't just give you one on the stat sheet because they felt bad for you and wanted to give you one before you walked out of there.
Believe me, my kids asked the same thing. Like, they're like, dude, one touchdown? I'm like, yeah. I know.
203rd overall pick, 1986 draft, Niners.
I wasn't Mr. Irrelevant, but I was in the running. Yeah.
Luckily they had 8 rounds back then, or you would have been beyond Mr. Irrelevant, but you can still say you were an NFL draft pick.
I know,
pick.
Right? No, it was fun. It was a fun couple of years, right? I had a nice a lot of fun fiddling around in San Francisco and in Chicago, and I tell people I got picked up on waivers by American National Bank and Trust Company in Chicago. Worked out fine.
That started your career after that. All right, just had to give you a plug so people remember you were an elite athlete back in the day. So you just moved into this new office, really planting a flag and a big investment in the city of Milwaukee, overlooking Cathedral Square. Why now? We're in the midst of a pandemic. How did all this unfold? And you, for those people who don't know, I should have said you were at Chase for about 30 years, 29,
just
30?
Just shy of 30 years.
Yeah. And this is your fifth year
coming
as
up on five.
CEO.
Five in May.
Yeah. Okay, so relatively new. You've made some big changes, but tell us about this new space.
You know, we've been in Milwaukee for a long time. We had our branch right at 333, the old Reckmeyer Fur Building. For a long time, we were at 100 East. We've been in Milwaukee for almost 50 years, really. This was an opportunity for us to take an iconic building, some space in an iconic building. Hush Blackwell moved out and moved into great space of their own down the street. We took the top two floors here, gutted it out, not even down to the studs, down to the floor plates, and started from scratch. And we're really proud of the space we built and kind of what it looks like and what it means for us here in Milwaukee.
And tell us about the design of the space and how it fits the future vision and maybe the future of work as you guys saw it. And you were telling me before this that you started that phase, or it was designed pre-pandemic before. I mean, no one could have imagined this coming.
You know, when we started designing this, it was over 2 years ago. We had this idea that we wanted to have space that was really great for our associates, but it was also flexible. We wanted space, and as you walk through it later on, you'll see, we wanted space that was great for entertaining customers. It was great space to meet and spend time together as a company. And then pandemic hit and everybody went home. And when we came back to this space, and it's very flexible. We have rooms that are huddle rooms, and I can't remember what we call them, the small rooms that are that you can plop down in if you're from a different market and just come in and work. That's the flexibility of the space that, frankly, the market is looking for now and that our associates love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really fits post-work COVID, yep. Coincidentally. When the pandemic hit, were you like, oh no, we just dropped all this money and made this big investment on this new office space, and who knows if and when people will ever be returning to the office?
I will tell you, we had not yet signed a lease. We were in the planning stages.
Okay.
And but we felt very strongly that the future still held companies like ours having meaningful space in cities like Milwaukee. And so we didn't even bat an eye. We signed it, we kept moving forward on it and built the space because we knew it was going to continue to be an important part of our company and our culture.
And how's the transition back to the office been so far? What do you guys do here at JFG?
You know, it's challenging. It's a challenging transition because everybody in the market is doing something a little bit different, right? We think we're a better company face-to-face. More often than not, we like to have people face-to-face and spending time together. We learn better that way. We transfer knowledge that way. We do a lot of things better that way. We also recognize and understand that the world's changed and the market's changed a little bit. So having some flexibility, our current status is, if you have a job that allows you to be flex, not somebody who has to be in every single day, 2 days out, 3 days in is kind of our rhythm, right? Some people come in every single day and some use that flex.
Yep. Transitioning, you just announced a $500,000 donation to the United Way. I know that organization's close to you, and JFG's donated about $2 million a year to charities per year over the last couple of years. I obviously rattled off some organizations that you're on the boards of. Touch on that and the importance of giving back.
Yeah, it's been part of our culture. It's been part of our values at this company, and frankly, in the family of companies for forever since they began. You know, for us, we've been really fortunate to be working and doing well during this pandemic. We're an essential business in the community and in the ecosystem. So for us, when we do well, we think we have an obligation to give back to the communities that we do business with, and that allow us to do well. Food security was a huge issue and continues to be a huge issue. That's what the last $500,000 we gave was largely around food security, because it's such a timely issue right now.
And you personally, you have a lot going on in your life, yet you still serve on all these boards. What drives you to do that?
Largely, for me, Richie, it's Milwaukee. Milwaukee, we came to Milwaukee, Julie and I came to Milwaukee 20-some years ago, and Milwaukee's one of these towns where if you want to be part of the fabric of this community, all you got to do is raise your hand. And you raise your hand, you show up, and people ask you to be part of their boards and be part of solutions around Milwaukee. And it's such a great community for that. Milwaukee's a community where everybody kind of pitches in. So it's just kind of what you do. I love it.
Touching on Milwaukee, you grew up in Illinois. You came here, as you said, 20 years ago.
Fib. Friendly Illinois brother.
Yes, that. I would not call some of my fib friends friendly Illinois brothers. I thought that's what it was. I got a bunch of Chicago friends from that. I went to Marquette. Like, all my friends were Chicago suburb kids. Do you think of the kids who lived in Arlington Heights and say they're from Chicago? Does that count to you? Because I have a lot of those friends.
It's going to count now because if the Arlington Heights Bears become a reality, then it'll be really important.
Then they could, but I would say they have not had.
Well, I think we're going to call them the Bezos Bears then, I hope, right?
Probably. So you've been here for those 20 years. How's the business scene evolved over those 20 years? What's kept you here? Has it been that sense of community? Is there more than that? And
Yeah, it's a great question. I for us, we've been here just over 20 years, and I will tell you, we never want to go back anyplace else. Milwaukee is such a great community where you can get involved in the things you want to. It's an easy community to live in and to be and to get around in. It's really been welcoming for us, and it's kind of where we call home. We love it. So.
Yeah, in the city, there's been so much growth here. I started going to Marquette back in, I think, 2007, and the city's changed so much, even over the last 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. You guys compete for talent at Johnson Financial. What do you think? Do you think Milwaukee could be doing anything better to attract and retain talent here?
You know, Milwaukee is doing a lot to attract and retain talent. I think we're all trying to, in a number of organizations, MMAC, GMC, a lot of different organizations are working really hard to attract talent, attract diverse talent, become a a city of choice for talent as it comes out of our local universities and schools, and even from around the country. Milwaukee's grown a lot. I mean, just look down the street here, down at the Third Ward. Over 20 years ago, the Third Ward was a whole lot different than it is now. Look at where down the other direction, where the Bucks Arena is now, where Fiserv is. What an incredible transformation has been made on both ends of the city. I mean, that's the stuff that's going to continue to attract talent here, and arts and culture. And yeah, look out the window at Discovery World and the Milwaukee Art Museum. Milwaukee's got a ton to give. It's a lot of it's just getting our name out and making sure people realize what a great city it is.
Yeah, it seems like all my friends who come visit from other states are shocked when they get here.
I used to have people from New York come and they'd say, I had no idea. And we don't want to be a best kept secret, right?
Right.
We like that it's been a best kept secret for us, but boy, we don't want to be a best kept secret anymore. We want people to come here and work here and live here and enjoy it like we all do.
Absolutely. Fintech, there's a lot going on in the fintech space. You've made significant investments in digital and technology to give your customers options. Can you touch on that?
Yeah, you know, just the financial services space overall has evolved so rapidly in the last 10 years, and it's exponentially changing today. So if you're not investing in digital and in technological solutions that make your business simpler to do business with, easier, faster, safer, and more personal, you're falling behind. And so we recognize that, we realize that, and we're fortunate. We have the scale and the capital to continue to invest that way to be relevant and have a right to exist in this space long term.
And what are some of the major initiatives that you guys are doing, or what does the future of banking look like to you?
I think the future of banking for us, and I think for a lot of banks and financial services companies, is personalized, right? It's connected and personalized. It is being able to, for us to know who you are, know what you're about, and know when to talk to you about things before you have to come and ask us for those things. It's data. It's connecting the dots to make your financial life easier, simpler, and more attainable.
How has the pandemic affected that a lot? Has it just expedited what's inevitable?
I think what it's done is it's validated, because all of us were on that curve someplace, and what it's done is validated that's where we needed to be. We still have a lot of customers that love to come into branches. You know, branches aren't dead. We love our branch network. We'll continue to invest in bricks and mortar and branches, but the right kinds of branches in the right places. But there's two different groups. There's groups that love branches. There's groups that want to do it on their phone, everything. We have to be able to do both.
Yeah. And you're obviously the leader of one of the state's major financial services organizations. You have a real pulse on the health of business in our state. How does that look like now, hopefully on the back end or coming out of a pandemic, but who knows?
Boy, I hope we're on the back end. We've been talking about the back end of pandemic for a long time.
Yeah, what are you hearing from your customers?
I think there's a handful of things that are really challenging everybody, right? Supply chain is challenging everybody. Travel is challenging people. Kind of thinking about inflation and thinking about how long that stays around and what happens with inflation is challenging people. Talent is challenging people. You know, I was telling somebody the other night, 18 months ago, the market was in the tank and people were saying, boy, you know, I'm gonna have to work another 5 years. 70 is the new 65. Now you look 18 months later, the market is still doing great. And it goes up and down a little bit, but it's doing great. Now people are saying 58 is the new 65. I don't want to work anymore. Right. And so
great resignation. You've seen a lot of that.
Yeah, it is. It's the great resignation. That's right. And so for us, being a company that attracts and retains and trains and is compelling for talent is one of our key priorities.
Yeah. Any overarching advice that you give to some of the business leaders that you see?
Advice to business leaders. I get advice from them. We all share advice. You know, I think probably the best advice we all give each other is to stay engaged, stay committed, stay engaged in kind of what's going on in the community and listen. You know, for us, it's a big thing about listening to our associates, listening to our customers, and listening to our communities, because they'll tell us what they want, and now we have to continue to deliver.
How many branches are you guys up to?
We've got 30.
In
30
all,
locations.
All in Wisconsin.
All in
right?
Wisconsin. We had four in Arizona. We made a decision to sell our Arizona business about a year ago and really kind of double down in Wisconsin. We think Wisconsin is the right place for us long term, and there's a lot of great opportunity for us to continue to earn our fair share in all the markets we serve.
Strategically, is it just a focus thing? When you give all your attention to one state or one geographic area, does it make it easier and you can deliver a better experience?
I think it's a focus thing, and don't get me wrong. We loved our business in Arizona. It's a terrific business. They were terrific. They are terrific people. We really like them. You've got to make a decision whether you want to really double down and really invest hard there, or double down and invest where it's more local and where you can really have better control over it. It was a tough decision, but it was, I think, the right one for us, and frankly, the right one for them, because they're with an organization now that's really investing.
You miss having an excuse to go down there.
I still go down there. Okay. No, I have my mother-in-law lives in down there, so I have that's not even an excuse. That's a great reason to go down.
There you go. As far as the wealth side of your business, you're the number one RIA in the state. What about that business appeals to customers and business owners here?
Yeah, for us, the RIA business, the wealth business is a terrific business for us, and it's a natural connection to our retail business, to our commercial business. It's a business that has for us it doesn't suck up capital, like the lending business does. The wealth business is just a really great long-term business, especially as wealth is generated and transferred generation to generation.
So we touched on talent a little bit. Mm-hmm. You've made a good amount of changes since you've come on just over the last few years. You got new HR director, new CMO, CIO, CTO. What have you done to attract this talent? How's that been?
Yeah, Richie, I would say the changes we've made have not been changes because we didn't like where we were going. The changes we've made have been really great opportunities to find people that wanted to be part of what we're doing, right? And one of the things you and I talked about earlier is we've attracted some people from big companies. I came from a big company for 30 years, who got to a point where they said, well, I've generated this great skill set that's transferable, and I'd love to bring it to a smaller company that where I can really kind of make a difference and make an impact. We're seeing a lot of those people want to come to join us, and we love having them here. They're making an impact.
Yeah, and I know off camera we talked about recruiting Kevin Jones from US Bank and how monumental of a move that was for the future of JFG.
As you and I talked, this is probably one of the biggest ones ever.
Probably. No argument there.
I told you I was going to say, I don't know who you're talking about, right? Kevin's great.
Yeah, he's all right. It still bothers me. He was a good friend from high school. He made a hole-in-one at number 4 at Maple Bluff. I don't know if you played there. He chunked it before the green. It bounced up and went in. I still haven't made one, so I'm a little bitter.
You know what the answer is? That's why there's only room for numbers, not pictures on a scorecard, Richie.
Exactly. Well, that was the one time he one-upped me. So anyway, as far as a little lightning round goes, what's your favorite restaurant here in Milwaukee?
Any place that serves a really great rare steak. There's a bunch of them.
Okay.
I'm a meat guy.
What do you think of John Mariano's beard right now?
I have crazy beard envy. My beard comes in really, really spotty, and his comes in super dark. Yeah, he's got a good beard.
Yeah, his look has evolved quite a bit over the years. I think since he started at JFG, he had some hair that was struggling, and I think he's just an example of a guy who made a very smooth transition to going bald and growing out a nice beard.
You lean in. I know that drill. You lean in sometimes.
I'm still pumping Rogaine over here.
You get there.
I hope not, but I probably will sooner rather than later. What is the overarching or your best piece of advice to young professionals in the city who are looking to have a successful career?
I tell my kids the same thing. Show up every day and do whatever you need to do to be relevant and to be kind of try to be indispensable in where you are, whether it's making the coffee or cleaning stuff up or doing whatever it is. Talent finds a way to rise to the top if people keep showing up. And I would tell people also, get engaged. Like, there's so many ways to get engaged in your community and in organizations and within your company. Get engaged, stay engaged, I will tell you, leaders find talent that way. That's how we find them.
Absolutely. Speaking of leaders, is there a leadership philosophy or any principles you abide by?
I think probably the biggest one I abide by is, I hope, is humility. At the end of the day, everybody in this company is as important as anybody else. There's not a single person in our company that's any more important than anybody. We have different jobs. We all have to do our jobs every day to make this place work. But if one person, doesn't matter who it is, me or anybody else, doesn't do their job, we don't work as best we can. Everybody's important, and we got to treat everybody that way.
That's all I've got for you. Thanks for having me up today.
Thanks for being here. It's great having you. Good seeing you.